It's great to have you here for a fresh week of God Is. I hope you all enjoyed a weekend full of the grace of God. Whether or not you follow Christ, if you're listening to this, it means you are alive. And that must give us all reason to thank God. And we who are in our right minds have all the more reason to be grateful to our Creator for giving us this gift that not everyone enjoys. We must never take for granted mental health. So join with me in giving thanks to God for the gift of life. And for Christ followers joining me today, let's pray for people who are experiencing mental health issues. Maybe you have a family member like this, maybe not, but either way, we can pray for such men and women. In fact, I'd like to pray now. Lord Jesus, thank you for clothing us in our right minds. I pray for people today who, because of mental illness, may hear voices or see things that are not really there, or are schizophrenic and paranoid and perhaps homeless on top of it. I pray for people in mental health facilities too, and I ask that you will be gracious to them and their families this week. I pray they will hear your quiet and commanding voice in the midst of the storm, and I pray for their caregivers. May they not grow weary in doing good. Thank you for hearing this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, friends, when we left off on Friday, we came to the end of a fruitful week in which we learned a lot about the nature of sin. This was a necessary discussion because we're following the witness testimony of John the Baptist, who, when he saw Jesus walking towards him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is in John chapter 1 and verse 29. John the Baptist gives us a most important insight into who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for all people who will believe in him. He takes away sin. Jesus saves people, rescues people, and redeems people from sin if we will believe in him to do it. I've broken this testimony into three parts. Part one is sin of the world, part two is Lamb of God, and part three is takes away. Now, I promise you, this week, we will soon wrap up our discussion on the nature of sin and move on to part two, Lamb of God. But first, I have one more important question to ask, and I'll get to that in a moment. But first, some review of last week. And again, you can get all of last week's episodes as a podcast from the WEZE website. www.590amtheword.com. Click Podcasts and God Is. 590amtheword.com, click Podcasts, and God Is. Go back and take time to listen should the following questions appeal to you. My first question was, what is the origin of sin? Or where does sin come from? And the answer, according to the Bible, is Satan. Satan is the source of sin. I then told you the following facts about this creature, Satan. He's a fallen angel. Created as a good angel by God, he led a revolt, an all-out rebellion against God in heaven, and so God cast him out and cursed him. In part, I define sin as rebellion against God because this is what Satan is, a rebel. Satan is also subtle, he is a seducer, and he is a liar and a murderer. Satan can temporarily infiltrate a non-believer. That is, someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, and he can control speech, as he does with the serpent snake in the Garden of Eden. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Our first question is, what is the origin of sin? And the answer is Satan. The second question I posed was, since Satan brought sin into the world, does that mean that God will not hold Adam and Eve accountable for their own sin? Let me repeat that to make sure we all understand the question. Since Satan brought sin into the world, does that mean that God will not hold Adam and Eve accountable for their own sin? And the clear answer from Scripture is that yes, Adam and Eve are held accountable by God for their sin. Please read Genesis chapter 3. As we wrestled with that answer, that led us to question 3. Why do we today get cursed for Adam and Eve's sin? We weren't there. Answer, original sin. Adam is representative of all people who follow him, so all people are born sinners. We all sin because we're all sinners. We all sin because we're all sinners. Which led me to ask a question that I get asked a lot. Here's the logic. Adam and Eve only ate a piece of fruit. What's the big deal? Well, as I said last week, to God, sin of any kind, shape, size, and form is always a very big deal. Sin is a far bigger deal to God than we realize, and that is why we need to spend so much time talking about sin. So when it comes to sin, those are the questions I have asked and answered from the Bible. But all of that discussion does leave us with at least one more question. It actually leaves us with more than one question. And you might have a question yourself that I have not asked or answered. If so, write to me today and ask. I'll be happy to hear from you. In fact, I'll give you my personal email now, and then it will be repeated later. mark@markaswallow.com. That's M-A-R-K at markaswallow.com. But here is a big question. Someone might say, well, forget Satan being responsible and accountable for sin, and man and woman being responsible and accountable for sin. Isn't God really the one who should take responsibility and be held accountable for sin? After all, didn't God create the possibility of sin? And God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden in the first place? As a pastor, I've been asked this question many times in person by Christians in my church and by people who I'm sharing the gospel with outside my church. That is, people I'm talking to about who God is and why they should follow Christ. This is a popular question. Actually, really, it is an accusation against the living God, and so I want to deal with it today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Here's the thing I want to say by way of response to this at the beginning. This statement question is one of those times when I need to call upon Romans 9, verse 20, and ask what the Apostle Paul asks. In Romans 9, Paul is writing to the church with conviction about how God relates to the Jewish people, and the Apostle anticipates harsh questions that he is going to get when the letter reaches Rome. Anticipating their questions, Paul knows they're really questioning God by making accusations against the Lord. So Paul beats them to it and cuts them off by asking them, "On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God?" That's a really important question in the Bible. Job, Isaiah, and Jeremiah asked it in the Old Testament long before Paul. Basically, don't you dare. Who are you to even think this about God? Who are you, sinful and frail human person, to challenge God like this? And I think that response applies here to our question. As I answer this, you may not be completely satisfied with how I respond. But that's okay with me, because only God knows why he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. I'm okay with that. He is God. I am only a man. Furthermore, as I answer this question, I will leave room for mystery because the mystery of the origin of sin does exist. And also because we do not have the time to explore our answer for like multiple weeks on this broadcast. Sin is a doctrine or teaching in theology that people study for a lifetime, and so I need to be judicious about how long I spend on it, at least right now. You'll find, though, that we are always circling back to sin in our time together because literally every chapter of the Bible deals with sin except four chapters, two at the beginning and two at the end. I sincerely doubt you have the patience for a much more robust and lengthy discussion on sin as it relates to God, again, right now. But we will circle back to it repeatedly. And so, given time constraints and varying levels of attentiveness and patience, I'm going to do my best to answer as concisely and truthfully as I can from the scriptures before we move on. If this does not satisfy you and you want more, email me and I can direct you to further resources on the question. Okay? good. I sense there's agreement, even though I cannot hear a word you are saying or read your mind. Ah, the challenge of radio. I'm going to give you a couple of answers. First, sin is not from God. God is never the source of sin. Did you get that? God is never the source of sin. Sin did not come from God in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, and sin does not come from God throughout all history, right into today. Furthermore, sin will, future, never, ever come from God. Sin is not from God. I hope you will all say it aloud with me wherever you are. Sin is not from God. Now, I have my eye on that clock on the wall over there, so that means we're running out of time for today. Bang! There goes Monday. But I want to invite you to come back tomorrow. I'll start with taking you through the Bible into several texts that demonstrates that sin is never ever from God. God is not the source of sin. If you are able, that is, you are not driving or otherwise occupied, it will help if you have your Bible with you and opened. So bring your Bible along with you tomorrow to the broadcast. I hope you sense my energy and enthusiasm for who God is. Every weekday, I want to be a good steward of the short time we have together, and I take your commitment to this time and to this ministry seriously. I never want to waste your time and attention. So prayerfully, I am always giving you some meat to chew on, as it were. Unless you don't eat meat. Then you can exchange that very bad and poor analogy for this one. A fresh garden, leafy green salad to chew on. All right, I am making myself very hungry. It'll soon be time for dinner, won't it? So I'll talk to you tomorrow here on God Is.